The following recording offers you a number of different options for the Daf Yomi. It begins with a recording of this, the 13 cycles of Daf Yomi, and that's done rather rapidly, within a half an hour or less. That's followed by a quick review between 5 and 10 minutes, depending on the length of the Daf. After that comes the very same Daf from the previous cycle, done at greater length, in much greater detail, with different participants in a different ambience. You could choose one for your original learning, one for review, alternate, or whatever you do, enjoy.
Today's Daf and Besach HaBrachot is Daf Lamed Ket, brought to me by Chomot Yerushalayim, and we're up to Namek Ketanoi, about a quarter of the way down, and we're in the middle of a machloket about what the din is of stews. Do you make a charcoal, do you make a bori priya adama? So let us assume that it's a machloket Tanaim, Danatri Talmide. There were two Talmidim, Daviyate Kamede Bar Kapara. There they are, sitting in front of Bar Kapara, and Heviu Lifneim, it should say, they brought out, as a suda for all three of them, Kruv V'Durmaskin. So they had some Kruv, and Rashi says Durmaskin are prunes. Tosfos says if it's prunes, it confuses the issue, because then there might be a problem of saying a Bar Priya 8. Could be that Rashi holds that it's just there for the additional sweetening of the Kruv. In any event, Tosfos learns it's a vegetable, also Bar Priya Adama. So that means there was a stew, and there were also Pargiot, which is little pieces of young chicken. So Natan Bar Kapara Reshut Lechad Miyam Levarech, and the guy jumps without asking what to do, and he's Mevarech Ala Pargiot, jumps for the chicken, Lig Leg Alav Chaveiro, and his friend bursts out laughing. I had a guy do that in my house once, I never invited him again. Kas Bar Kapara, Bar Kapara got very angry, and he said, Lo Ala Mevarech Ani Kois, Ala Malag Leg Ani Kois. What kind of business is this? I'm angry at the guy who left. It's true, your friend is a slob. And he goes straight for the meat, which is, who does that? You eat a little bit of a farsh spice first. But what do you have to laugh at him for? Atal malig lag tala. Chazar v'amar, then he said, lo ala malag legani, because I'm not angry at the guy who left. I'm already over that. I'm angry at the guy who did this. Why didn't he ask me what comes first? Im chokma inkan. Maybe I'm not so bright, but zikna inkan. I'm definitely older than you. Why don't you ask? Tana shneim lo tzirshnatan. Unfortunately, neither of them survived the year. Very dangerous eating by Bar Kapara. But anyway, my love, apparently both of these talmidim were following shitot of the Tanaim. The mevorech held shlakot and pargiot are the same bracha. They're both shakoni abidvoro, and therefore, if you have two things of the same bracha, whatever is more chaviv comes first, and he liked the pargiot, so he went for the pargiot. And malag leik savar, no, the shlokoto obore priya adama, the pargiot or shakoni abidvoro, and therefore, you always go for the more specific bracha, and the peirot are therefore much more specific than a generalized shakol. You should have made the bracha on the peirot. Not necessarily, says the Gemara. Maybe there's a whole different issue at stake here, rather than a machloket tanoim about the bracha on stews. It may be that everybody's mother shlagot upargiot are all akonia bidvorot. The question of here is a different one. Mar savar chaviv adif. One man the Omer holds, you take what is something that you enjoy more. Umar savar, in any event, there's another issue that you need to take into consideration. Not only what the bracha is in terms of the similarity of the bracha, not only the chavivut, but also the nourishment level. So marzava kruv adif design, a nice stew, fills you more than a piece of chicken. Omer Rabbi Zerak Avinam Bei Ravuna, Omer Lan Hani Gargalida De Liftan. Why we were learning by Ravuna, he told us that when you grate a turnip, if you grate it into parmino prima raba, into large pieces like coleslaw, large coleslaw, so then it's borei priya adama. But if you make it a prima zutta, very thin pieces, it loses its tzura of turnip, and that takes it down a grade, and it becomes a shahakoni abidvaro. But then when we moved to Rabbi Yehuda's yeshiva, Gyatan Labei Rabbi Yehuda, he told us, not true. Idividi abori puri adama. The only reason that you're doing it in such small pieces to grade it is because, I parmino tefei, keech danam tiktaini, is to have it taste a little bit better, because turnip is sharp. When we were by Rav Kahana, he taught us that a tafshila de silka, if you've got a borscht, and even though some people confuse selek with teret, thinking that borscht is actually spinach, I mentioned the minig in Yerushalayim for the simanim on Lil Rosh Hashanah, for the stalku avonotenu, is they use spinach for selek. But Kavina Be Rav Kahana said a good borscht, where you don't put in a lot of, if you're making even a thick stew, you don't put in a lot of kemach, a lot of flour. So therefore you see a bori pri adama. But a stew of turnip, where over there it's basically a quiche, and you put in a lot of kemach, tvei, then you make a bori mine mizonot. But then he taught us, no, that's a mistake. Kadarama, both cases, idividi a bori pri adama. The only reason you put in a lot of kemach, is purely the dubuke bi'alma, is just as a binder agent. And as a binder agent, you do not make a borimene mizonot, you make a shakonia bidvaro, as we do on the licorice sticks, which are very much, almost entirely, kemach. And nonetheless, we still make a shako, because we recognize the kemach is there only to be able to turn it into a stick. Omri Chista, Tavshil Shel Trotin, let me tell you, a good Popeye, the sailor man, spinach stew, is yafal alev, totally naim, the koshikin, livne meayim. Doot, doot. Omri Abaya, vuhu diyote vabe tapi, this is where the toot of the Popeye came from, where the only time that it's a good spinach is if it's sitting on the stovetop and it's going doo doo, which is why every time Popeye had some spinach, it was always boop boop on his little pipe. Amar of Popeye, pshita li at maya de silka kisilka. You boil the borscht, you still make a bori pri adama, because that is the taste of the borscht, and that's the whole point. Maya de lifta is kalifta. Maya de kule shalke, any type of vegetable where you make soups out of them, and even though you strain it afterwards, you make a bori pri adama, kekule shalke. Bayer of Papa, my only question is maya de shipta mai. If you're making a drink out of shevet, which is dill, is it limituke taima avde? Is it for its taste? Or is it laburi zahuma avde? Is it only there in order to make it more pure because it sort of collects the dirty parts of the water? And then you filter it off. Tashma, in the sugya of truma, hashevet, mishinatatam bekidera, once that dill has been boiled up, then its taste is all in the pot. And now it itself is nothing but a bunch of sticks. And ein ba mishum truma, it doesn't have a din of truma anymore, and ein amatama tumato chlim, it's not even kabal tuma. Shema mina, clearly from here you see that its taste goes into the gedera, and it's limit to kitayma. Avdila shema mina. Om rebchia barashi, patsinuma bika'ara, mevorchina lehamotzi. You make a bracha on a piece of toast that you put into a soup. So you had some good onion soup, you filled it with a big piece of toast. You still make hamotzi out of it, but this is against Rukhiya Shita, because Rukhiya, you never make a bracha hamotzi on a piece of bread. You always make it on a loaf of bread. And Sarachitichale bracha ima pat, as you're cutting that piece off, you're making the bracha. Matki florava, no. That doesn't make any sense. Because Mashna Tsunuma Dolo, you're telling me that the piece is not chashiv enough to make hamotzi, because at the point that you're completing that bracha, you're completing it, Dikikaya bracha aprusa kakaya. But the way you're doing it, it's no different. If you start cutting the bread as you start the bracha, then by the time you finish the bracha, it's already a piece of bread. And therefore, Kika Gamra, Prusa Gamra, Mamela, I hold Elam Arava Mavarech Ve'Achakach Botzea. You first say the entire brook before you cut. Nardoy Avik Rabchia, Rabbanan Avik Rava. Omar Ravina, Omra Li'em, my mommy always told me that your daddy, Avuch Avid Kerebichia, Dom Rebichia, Tzarech Shetechale Bracha Im Hapat. Nardoy Avde Kerebichia, to cut the bread as they're saying the Bracha, because the point over here would be to be memayit as much as possible, the hefsek between the Bracha and the Achila. And the Rabbanan were Avde Kerava, because it's more important to have the bread shalem for the bracha than to be mamayit in the hafsaka, because in reality, it just is near a hafsaka, according to almost everyone. It wouldn't really be hafsaka to be mechayev another bracha. It just looks like a long time is passing between the bracha. It takes so long to cut a challah sometimes. So because of that, first finish cutting. That would be the way Reb Chiya held it.
Cutting just for yourself and eat rather than cutting for everybody.
That's a different issue. Now we're talking about for yourself. So you cut. This is not talking about on Shabbat. On Shabbat, where there's a specific issue of having a full Lechem Shleima for the covet of the Seudah of Shabbat, and that's the din, as we're going to see, even a double loaf, which we learn out from the man, over there, for sure, we're makpid not to cut the bread before completing the bracha. What do we do about the problem that has been raised by Rabbi Chiya about being mamayet hafsaka? So as you know, there's quite a few different minhagim in this. All of those different minhagim are based on different shitot. Some just make a little mark with the knife. Again, because we're not really dealing with hafsaka, but what's near a hafsaka. So in making that little mark, basically you've already chosen where to cut. So you've been mamayet hafsaka a little bit, which is all we're really trying to do. It's more symbolic than an actual difference. Others learn, and others have the minhag, to actually cut a little, but not to cut enough that it would be called a prusa. That which defines a prusa is if you could pick up the smaller piece, and the large challah will come right up with it, so then obviously you don't have a broken challah yet. There are others, by the way, who learn that the entire issue of it is two different things. There's cutting, and there's breaking bread. Breaking bread, if I would be the last stage. Cutting is still where everything is together. Okay, this is a different approach. Most people have the minhag to cut a little bit and not to turn it into a prusa. I've seen people that cut too much.
Is that from Shabbos?
Yeah, this is where we're makbet on a shleima, specifically. V'hilchata kirava, v'yama mevarech, v'achar kach botzeya. Itma. What about if you've got large petitim? So you have a large slice of bread, and you've got a tiny challah. So you're left over from a challah that is very large, but you have a small lachmaniya, which is whole. Which one comes first, the whole or the large? Omer Avuna, the large. Mevarech al petitim, upoter et hashleimim. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, no. A shleima is mitzvah min hamufchar, it's more choshev. But that's not always the case. Because you're only talking about size, but you haven't raised the other element, which is what type of flour it is. Now that has to be taken into consideration, because let's say you would have a piece of bread which is made out of wheat, and you've got a piece of bread which is made out of barley. Now, we know that wheat is more chashuv in the pasuk, Eretz Chitah Seorah, and therefore, because of that, Divrei Hakom Mevarech Al HaPrusa Shechitim, everybody would agree that the Birkat HaMotzi should be on the piece of wheat flour, and Poter Et HaShleima Shel Seorim, even though the Seorim is whole. Om Reb Yirmeyah Bar Abba Kitanoi. This whole sugya of prusa shalchita b'shleima shel seorim is not according to everybody. There's a machloket tanaim about this, where it's nogeya truma, where there too we have an issue. After all, we're supposed to give b'harimchem et chelbo. You're supposed to give the nicest part. Now, the question is, if I have a choice, I could take a batsalkata, which is shalim, but I've got a cut onion, and I'm happy to give that to the kohen, but it's larger, but it's cut. Which one comes first? That seems to be the same issue. Is the whole more kosher, or is the large more kosher? Shrebi Yehuda, So we have the Tkani Karma saying, Tormim batsal katan shalem. You always give the whole and not the part, even if it's larger. Avalo chatzi batsal gadol. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Ki ela chatzi batsal gadol. Now, I would assume that my lab, Bo'akam iflage, mar sova chashuv adif, umar sova shalem adif, assuming that that is the machloket. Then we could apply the same machloket to the question of the challah that we just had. So it says the Gemara, not necessarily, because hechadika kohen. If there's a kohen around, then kohen amal obligate chashuvah. If everybody would be made up, then you could take the more kosher thing, which is the whatever it is. In other words, I don't want to commit myself to saying it's a machlokas tanayim. But you're saying when it comes to our sheet about bread, everybody would have said it's whatever is more kosher. The issue of it has nothing to do with what's more kosher. It has to do with the question of whether it's going to last if it's already cut. The machloket is where there's no kohen. If there's no kohen, what is more important? That which is mitkayim or that which is chashuv. If there's a kohen handy and you're going to be giving him whatever it is, so then of course you take whatever is yafa. And that's chalba. But if there's no kohen, it makes more sense to be toreim min mitkayim. If it's going to take a day or two until the kohen gets it, what's the point of giving something that looks good now? By the time he gets it, it's going to already be wrecked. So it's better to have something that is longer mitkayim. And Rav Yehuda says, it's always the act of truma that's more important. Be torei min hayafa. Om Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, the best thing to do when it comes to the issue of the pot, don't get involved in the machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan as to whether the prusa is more important or the whole is more important. What you should do is, if you have Yorei Shamayim, you could be yotzei everybody. How could be yotzei everybody? I'm referring to Marbury de Ravina. Marbury de Ravina, what he would do is he would take the prusa, cover it with the shlema, and hold them both in his hands, make the bracha on both of them, and then he was botzeya. Tani Tana Kamei de Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, meniach haprusa b'toch ha-shlema u'botzeya. Once Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak was there, one of the Tanaim comes up, and comes up with this as the Alocha Psuka. Amalei, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, sonny boy, what's your name? Amalei, my name is Shalman. Amalei, very nice name for a boy like you. Shalom ata u'shlema mishnatcha, shesamta shalom benat hamidin. Because in paskening it this way, you're basically getting us out of this whole machloket with Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. Now everybody can know it the same way. Lamais, if you take both the shlema and the prusa, so then you can't lose. Omer of Papa, when it comes to Pesach at the Seder, for sure you got to do that. A kol modiv, the Pesach, well, over there you have two separate issues. The prusa is supposed to be prusa in order to be lechem oni. So you must take the prusa. On the other hand, you have the chashivut of the shlema that you're making for the lechem mishnah of the seuda. Therefore, everyone is mada miniach prusa b'toch hashlema and botzea. Why? Because on Pesach, obviously, you need the prusa there, even if normally all year round you hold the prusa is subsumed by the shlema. Here you need lechem oni k'tiv, and the derech of an oni is to have bread that is cracked and not in good shape. Omer Rabbi Abba, when it comes to Shabbat, chayav adam liftzoa al shtei kikarot. You need to have two loaves by taima lechem mishnah k'tiv. And he holds apparently that you have to actually cut both of them. Liftzoa, some hold. Omer Avashi, chazinu le'rav Kahana. I saw that what Rav Kahana would do is he wouldn't cut both. He would hold both of them in his hands, nokitarte, but he was only botseachada. And we'll see that there, the diak there is because, basically, what does it say, the lecha mishnah? And it says veliktu lecha mishnah. It doesn't say to cut lecha mishnah. So you're malakeit. The chashivut of Shabbat, therefore, is to put the two lecha mishnah together. In terms of cutting it, it's okay to cut from only one of them. Rabbi Zeira, what he used to do, is he would cut that challah enough for the entire meal. Just keep cutting and cutting and cutting. Omale Ravina Ravashi, I mean, doesn't that look a little slobbish? I mean, yeah, how much bread do you need, for heaven's sakes? So, Kerbischazi Kerav Tanuta, why don't you take what you need as you need it, which is much more civilized way of doing things? He answered him, because Kiva, Amalek, Kiva, the Ko Yumaloka Avadach, it's obvious that it's a man who generally would never do such a thing. And clearly, if he's doing it, he's doing it in order to give a sense of Rachavat Yadayim when it comes to Sudat Shabbat. So it's clearly an act of Sudat, Kavod Shabbat, and not an act of slobbishness of Rav Tanuta. And therefore, lo mitchazei ki Rav Tanuta. Ravami and Ravasi, he did it only for himself, but enough what he needed for the whole meal.
One big piece.
No, he would, yeah, we would take, he would cut enough for himself for the whole meal, instead of cutting a small piece, then cutting another small piece. Ravami Ravasi, ki avi mitrami le riftadei ruva. If Ravami and Ravasi happened upon the bread that had been set aside for the Eruv, for Shabbos, for the Eruv Chatzerot, they would use that to make Amotzi Lechem in Haaretz. Why? Because they said, Hoyel v'yit avi be mitzvah chada. Since one mitzvah had been done with this, let's do another mitzvah for the Kvod Shabbat on the same bread, because the mitzvah itself gives chashivut. This, of course, is best done as it's brought on the morning meal, because if you do it too early, if you keep it early Shabbat, there won't be an Erev. If you eat up the bread of the Erev before dark, it's not a good idea.
What did they do this wrong in that?
When they happened upon it, they wouldn't search for it. So you have to laugh about it. That's how Malik lacked Allah. Chazar v'yamar, lo alam alag lega nikoes, alam avarecha nikoes. V'yamar, im chokma inka, I'm at least older than you. Zikna inka. How can you act me like this? Tana v'shneim lo otzir shnatan. So my love, b'hakam ifluge. Mevarech sabar shlakotu pargiot, or all shakol niyeh b'dvaro, yilka chaviv adif. Not necessarily. The question is, because it's Zion. Omer Adizera Kehavi Avina Berevuna. Omerlon Ani Gargalida de Lifta. Parminu prima rabba bore priadama prima zuta shakoni ebidvoro fechiatan levei reviu et amalan. No. Ine vinio bore priadama haide farminu tfei ki ekedanam tik taimei. Om revashi ki avinu be rev kahana amarlan tafshila de silka de lom af shubakimcha. That's the way it's made. It's a bore priadama. Lifta, where you always are af shubakimcha tfei, that's borei mizonot. V'hadar amalan irivini borei priadama. The only reason you're shari bakim chatvei is as a binder. The dibuke be'alma avdila. Omer of chista tafshir shal tradin. Couldn't be better. Yafal alev tov leinayim v'koshike livnei meyayim. Omer abayev uudiyat v'vavei tafi v'avi tuch. Omer of popa Читали, маєте силки з кисілка, у маєте ліфта з кисілка, у маєте кулешалка к кулешалка. Бойров папа, маєте шифта май, лимит туки тайма авди, оле абурезу ума авдила. Тошма, шевет, мішене, тна, там, бік, дира, енба мішом чума, вейна бетами тума тохлин, кролили шмаміна, мішене, тна, там, мінц лимит туки тайма авдила, шмаміна. Омрав Хиабараші пак цинума бике ара беворхина ле амоци. Уполик Рабхия, Омрав Хия, цориш тхале брахайма пат. Матки Флорова, what good is that? Маш на цумано, мишубихи кая браха пусаха кая. So even if you make it алапат, дамбикико гамра, пусагамра. Ело амарова, меворех, беахарках боция. Нардой авдик Рабхия, брабанан авдик Рабхия. Omravina Omrali aim avuch of it krhia. Domravia tsarach shitkalebra haima pat. That's what my mommy told me. Rabonana vikarova, vilkatakarova, gyomra mavarech, viakarkach vutseya, itva. Evil if the empititin ushlemi. Omravina mavarech ala petitin upoterta shlemi, rabiokurama, shlema is always a mitzvah mina mufka. Avo prusa shofitim v'shlema shesorin over there yakom uvarach ala prusa shofitim uvoteta shlema shesorin om rabbi yonah bar abba. But that is also machloket hanoi tormim batzal katan shalem avo lo chatzi batzal gadol rabbi yonah bar lo kela chatzi batzal gadol mai lava kamifuge mar sova chashuv adiv umar sova shalem adiv zeich adik a koin guliyam lo plige de chashuv adiv ki plige de leka koin. The time called Makom Shish Kohen, Toremina Yafe, the Koma Kom Shein Kohen, Toremina Mitkayem, Rebuta Omerain, Torem Elamina Yafa, Omerdako Bayitza Gyore Shamaim, Yotzei Deshneen, Umanu Marbarade Ravina, the Marbarade Ravina, Meniak Prusabatoka Shlema, Botsea, Tony Tanakame Ravnako Bayitza, Meniak Prusabatoka Shlema, Ubotsea, Umvorek. Amalei Mashimcha, Amalei Shalman, Amalei, nice name. Shalom ata, shlema mishlatcha, shesamta shalom bein hatalmidim. Rav Papa, hakol modim bepesach, sheminiach prusa betoch shlemo betzeh, my time up. Lechem oni ktiv. Rav Abba, ubishabbat, chayav adam nifzo ashtei kikarot, my time up. Lechem mishne ktiv. Rav Ashi, chazil Rav Kana, denoka tarti, ubotzeh hachoda. Rav Izeir, avi botzeh hakule shiruta. Rav Ino Rashi, isn't it mitzvah kiraftanuta? Amalei kivin do kol yom alo kavad achi. It's only a yidna the kavad achi lo mitzvah kiraftanuta. Rabami Ravasik avi bedraman agrif today ruva mevorchin alei bamot zilachem minaret. Amrei hovi David ben mitzvah choda. Let's go ahead and David ben mitzvah rite.
Today's daf lametes. Richie is here, so we're able to start. We're holding on daf lametes on the date. And we were, that's what we got up to. Yes, we were cooking some stews, actually, yesterday. All right, and, okay, I mean, basically the last thing that we learned was the machloket within a machloket, about how to understand, first of all, what it was that Rabbi Yochanan had said. There was some question to different approaches to Rabbi Yochanan. Furthermore, we had a machloket between the original Ruchista, who quoted the two approaches, whether you make a shahakra or you make a bird for your adama, a stew. Rav Chista claimed that it's not really a machloket, because in his opinion it really depends. If it's something that's generally eats stew, then you would make a bracha on the stew, which is its main bracha, which is the adama or the eitz, whatever the case may be. And if it's not the normal way to eat it, then it would be a shahakra, and that each quote was basically referring to something else. There was no machloket at all. Then we had another quote by Rav Nachman, of the same discussion, basically, in which he felt that actually there was a big machloket over here about how to view the shlokot, and he considered it to be part of the din of Raki Kasharui, which got us into matzah, about the Yotzi Pesach, and so on. But in other words, a machloket about whether it is a machloket, first of all, and whether it is dependent on the similarity of the din to the din of Lechem. And we'll see, obviously, more of this. It gets more interesting as we go, but we'll review it today in our brief halakha review. And we got up to the Masiv Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel. which is four lines up from the bottom on Amud Beis. Yerakot Shadam Yotzei Behem Yideko Batov Pesach. I was still holding at the Seder over here. And the question is, we're at the Mora. We were handling the matzah. We got through that more or less cheaply. And now we're at the Mora, and the question is, which part, let's say, of a lettuce do you have to eat? Actually, it could be either part. You could eat the leaf, you could eat the stem, the kelach shelahim, but you cannot eat the, I always get a giggle out of this piece, because I tell you, every time I read this, it reminds me of Yom Kippur. You know? Kibushim shelukim. That's killed Israel for me. You can't be yotze if you've got salted lettuce or horseradish, or stewed or boiled. Now, according to you, according to the shitot over here, that you consider to say a bore priha dama on a cooked lettuce, so then, Shalukin amaylo? What would be wrong with having stewed horseradish or stewed lettuce? Now, again,
I'd say adom.
Yeah, if you would say adom. In other words, assuming that it really is a machloket, like the Nachman is learning, clearly understanding that according to Rav, we really don't care whether it was nishtani or legriota even. It's because we're all going to be agreed that stewed lettuce is certainly not as tasty as lettuce is, so it's definitely nishtana legriuta. Since nonetheless, they were saying over here, it doesn't matter. In other words, once something has its din of a bracha, you don't, unless you literally take away its tziras achila, that the bracha continues to be set on it, no matter what particular state it's in. Very similar to the bread, where if you originally bake it in a tzura, that it's not bready. It's a cracker. So you don't make a mozi like a menorah. But if you had a large loaf, and now you rubbed it down, and now it's pieces, you make on a tiny piece of the matzah, you make a mozi. Same thing over here. Processing something, once it gets its din of a bracha, according to this sheet, in other words, where Nachman's understanding it, it's not a function of the norm of how one eats it. It's simply a question of what established that bracha, and as long as it's still roy to be eaten, a bracha doesn't change. That would be the shita over here. In which case, why can I not be yotze my maror at the Seder with boiled horseradish, which would be great because people have a hard time eating horseradish, so the lamaisi have the same thing. And of course, we basically have the same teretz that we had yesterday. Actually, I shouldn't say it's the same because many shitot hold that the tam matzah that we spoke about yesterday isn't really because we need tam matzah specifically. The truth is you can swallow matzah without chewing it, you've still the yotze, which you can't do for mora. So clearly tam matzah and tam mora are not the same. And that causes some of the shitot to say that yes, yesterday's tam matzah was really a general dinin pot that we were applying to the matzah over here. But when it comes to tam maror, that's for sure. You can't swallow your horseradish in a pill form. You've got to taste the maror. Since over here it no longer has the maror taste, so shiny hatam to be in a ta'am maror v'leka. But as far as the bracha is concerned, what difference would it possibly make ta'am maror to the bracha? Only Rabbi Yirmiyahu or Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yochanan, hechem nevarech al zayit maliyah. You said the whole thing started with the story that you yourself saw Rabbi Yochanan eat a salted olive, and nonetheless he made it baruch ha'et. I mean, I accept that. I just have another problem. How do you make a bracha on a salted olive when it's obviously not a kezayis?
No,
yeah, there you go. A zayis not a kezayis, is it? I mean, we all know that. A kezayis is 45 times the size of an olive. anybody who tried eating a kezayis on Pesach knows. No, but seriously, the kezayis includes the pit. It's only a reference. You can't eat an actual zayis and still eat a kezayis unless you swallow the pit, but then the pit's not roi l'achila. So the bottom line is, kiven the shekila legarine, when you subtract the garin of the zayit, but now you have less than a kezayit. So you should not have made at least the bracha akrona. We have a problem over here about the bracha rishona, because the bracha rishona you eat before even pachot mikishiur. But how did he make the bracha akrona? Now Tosis brings over here fascinating Yerushalmi, which we'll be getting to in brachot, which says, has the same story, has the same question, and answers, an amazing answer, which I bet you never thought of, Birya shani. Just like the Gabi Dinim of Bitol and so on, we view an actual organism, the entire organism, as having a unique Hashibut. So the Yerushalmi is true of Gabi Bracha as well. If this is the organism, so what's not different what size it is? You don't need a Kezayit of a Zayit. The Zayit is enough to eat. And therefore, there's no problem. Someone is saying it's not Kabbalah Shivat HaMilim. Because since the Torah mentions specifically these things, it treats them not as general foodstuffs, but rather as each one a unique described species. If I have that species, the Torah is makshivit for me to make a broth on. By the way, there's meanwhile brings another interesting question, is whether the Gemara's question would have been asked even for Borei Nefashot. Is there a shiur on Borei Nefashot? Or is Borei Nefashot just like, you know, on the Hana'ah? And he brings over here the sheet of the reed, but since it's not a bracha chashuvah anyway, we sort of throw it in for having a na'ah. We said velo klum, we call it. Maybe it doesn't have a shear. Now, the Gemara says, we know, of course, we're not asking like that. Because Eskosus himself disagrees here with the reed, the Borei Nefashot was clearly a takana, which applies the din of bracha achrona, the true bracha achrona, to things which don't have their own bracha. Therefore, we weren't going to be metaken something that differed in its essence from the general halakha of a bracha achrona. If you only make a main shalosh with a kizayit, then you're only going to make a berkat shakol with a shir, either a kizayit or a bit, as the case may be. In any event...
The assumption of Zayit Maliyah that they only ate one halakh?
Yeah. That's what he said. I saw him eat a Zayit Maliyah. That was his eidut. That was the point.
Yeah, so
all aspects. Well, if you try one of those eight, well, you know, eat one and you never eat another one. But, you know, that's the sheet that I think was a commuter.
What don't we mean? A Zayit Maliyah is like a kind of
real Zayit Maliyah. That's American Zayit Maliyah. In American, nothing has any taste. No, I'm serious.
Yeah,
it's engineered to take all taste out because Americans don't believe in the physical world, really. They think they do, but they're frightened by it. But the real Zayit Maliyah is difficult. I mean, it's extremely, extremely salty. Has an extremely pungent taste, which is why, according to many over here, Zayit Maliyah was a yurid, that was a griuta. And that was the finish. The griuta was still making a, this is all Reb Ki Vegel on this point. But the idea over here is that Lamaisa, I had a, listen, I gotta tell you, I got a story. My wife for 40 years hasn't forgiven me. She sent me out to bring a couple of onions, and I brought back a couple of onions, like any man would bring back, right? Two onions. If your wife told you, get me a couple of onions, say when you first got married, now you know. I mean, a woman says a couple, but it has nothing to do with what the word a couple means, and so on and so forth. But would you not have brought two onions? Seriously, you would have brought three if she said a couple?
A couple include two, three.
Yeah, boy, oh boy. No,
what is the word
two
kilo.
2 kilo, but if she said a couple?
Whenever she said 2 kilo.
That's because you got smart. That's
just next week.
That's
the shear.
So know what
happens. Very well defined. In any event, I'm still paying for it. But over here in the Gemara, when we make a diya, and you say Rabbi Yochanan ate an olive, we mean Rabbi Yochanan ate an olive.
But the din of beer still applies even if they're not eating the
pig.
Then you're shaving.
Yeah.
Even if
they're
not eating the pig, that's not the whole thing.
The birya is the food part of the edible part of the yeah. Anyway, so we got a cute question over here. A kizayit is by definition not the shir. A zayit is by definition not a kizayit. Omar lay me sabak kizayit kazo. What are you thinking? Now you need to have the largest size zayit. A zayit is a standard zayit. A zayit beit hadin. And Rabbi Yochanan ate a larger zayit, so even with the garim, he still had a shir of a kizayit. And that was the case over here, which we had. The Alhuti Aitlik, I mean, the Rabbi Yochanan Zayit Gadol Abi, that was a large olive in which Abba gav the Sheklula Garinit, even though the pit had been removed, Pashle Shiura, there was still enough of a Shiur left. The Tznan, Zayit Shamru Lo Katan, Velo Gadol, Ela Beinuni, and the one that we use as the Dugma is the Zehu Aguri, that's called the Aguri, and as Rabbi Abu points out, its species name isn't really technically Aguri, the real name of the species is Avruti. The reason, or some say it's the Samrusi olive, but Lamanikra Shmo Aguri, Sheshamno Agur Bitocho. Rashi learns all over Agur Bitocho means that the way in which this olive contains the oil is not similar to the, let's say, tapuach, in which you don't see the liquid, and only in pressing you get liquid out. There's an element of crushing involved. The Zayat Aguri is more like a grape, in which the thin membranes surround the oil, but the oil is ogur in it. Others learn ogur betocho has to do with the shear particularly. And they understand that other olives, when they're exposed to the rain or to heat, they lose a certain amount of their oil and it affects the size of the olive. So the zayit aguri is protected in such a way that it is a good use of a standard olive because it maintains that size no matter what. Mema ketanoi. Now, is it possible that this issue of bracha and the shlokot and so on, could this be a machlokas tanoim? It's interesting. The tanoim that we're about to quote, that it's a machlokas between, have no names. There are two students, it's fascinating. There were two students that were by Bar Kapoor. So how to trade Tabiri?
One more thing. I mean, what was the problem with this thing? I mean, if it was less than a shiur, of course, they wouldn't say that.
It says he did. Uberich, the fun of Akhra. That was the whole deal. The 100 trade Tabiri of Yazvik, I made the Bar Kapoor. Okay, so they serve, they're sitting in Bar Kapoor, they bring out on the table three dishes, kruv, and dormaskin, and pargyot. The kruv, we know what it is. Pargyot, we know what it is. Pargyot is a little chicken or some type of fowl. You know, but you have a toothpick, and these are things that are not being eaten in lafet tapat. They come as appetizers before the meal. And the dormaskin, what exactly dormaskin is, Rashi brings a lush out of his tongue. Maybe it's prunes. Anishamati, it does disagree. It says it doesn't make any sense because it says that they were set of Borei Pri Adamah. If it was prunes, lefara, even though they're dried and so on and so forth, but they're not Borei Pri Adamah. They wouldn't change the bracha. Although you should know there are some shittas we hold that where you have an ha'etz that was nishtana legriyuta, it becomes a Borei Pri Adamah. He doesn't even entertain that possibility, and he says that it must be also a type of kruv, maybe brothel sprouts or something like that, which they also brought to the table.
Damascus prunes is what French Steinbach is called.
Damascus prunes.
Damascus prunes.
It can't be Brussels sprouts. It's the derice to eat Brussels sprouts. I didn't entertain such a
joke. That's true. Obviously, in those days, the Shratzim had not discovered vegetables yet. Because it's clear that they ate them, and therefore
well, couldn't. They did not get developed a very hardy capacity to test any.
Close your nose and eat.
So what happened? Bar Kapoor gives rishus to one of them to make a bracha. Now this is very dangerous. It could cost you. It could end up costing you your life, as you'll see. It gets worse. So kofatu birei kala parvio. So what do? He grabs a little piece of this chicken dip and he takes one on the toothpick and he makes a bracha. Now the shaila is over here. What do you mean he was making a bracha? For whom? We're talking about a bracha rishona. Tosis points out that the case over here must be that they were eating the hasema. And that's called a kviyut of a suda, which we no longer have, but it was Roman custom. And that type of kviyut, they would be bevorek one for others. So there was one, just like we do in a suda like on Shabbos. Because when you're mesiv, he made the bracha for everybody. That's a pshat that he gave him to be bevorek. So that means that he included Bar Kapoor in that bracha, and his choice was sort of forced upon them. What bracha are you going to make? He made a shaka. Ligleid alav chaveiro. So his friend starts making a nasty little giggle about it. Ka'as Bar Kapoor was angry, and he said, "Lo'alam avarech anikois. I'm not mad at the guy who said the bracha. Alam alag leg anikois. Just because chavrecha don't make mishlo tam tam boser mi'olam, just because he looks like a slob who never had a piece of meat in his life, so all he can think about is getting in a piece of bird into his mouth, where obviously it's a more specific bracha to say a borei bria adama, assuming that that's what was the question over here, because the shahakol is a general bracha, and the more specific a bracha is, as we saw, the more value it has, because the more defined it is, and the central element of bracha is human definition. So okay, the thing is that apparently the chaviv, since there was chaviv on him, that comes first. So I accept that. But you think you're so smart. What are you laughing about, huh? So atal mali galaktala. What do you have to laugh about? It's your business whether he happens to enjoy chicken. Then he said, you know what? I'm not even upset about the guy who laughed. It's the idiot who made the rock I'm angry about. I mean, after all, you may not think I'm too bright as your Rebbe, but I am a little bit older than you. I mean, how about asking me which one should come first? Especially, I mean, you're being bored for me. I mean, don't you think it's in place to give me a polite question as to what it is you should do? Unfortunately, the Brisa says they both didn't live the year out. Shneim lo hotziu shnatam. But in any event, they were obviously arguing about something. And these are two Tanoim that are arguing. Now, what were they arguing in? My lava, come here, forget. These weren't idiots. They're sitting in front of Bar Kapara. He's dealing seriously with the questions over here. Apparently, the Mavarech Savar, the one who is making the bracha, must have thought that the bracha on the kruv, that was shaluk, so he had over here a stew on the one hand, chicken on the other hand, he held they were both shakol and the ebed baro. Therefore, he felt, okay, I like chicken better, let me make a bracha on the chicken. Yokach, the chaviv was adif. Whereas the smart aleck was Savar, no, a stew is a borei pri adama, whereas the pargyot is only shakol ni'ebid varo. Therefore, since you have a bracha that is more well-defined, even kineged your chavivut, the Torah is on it. So it seems here that we have a basis for an old machloket about whether stews are shakol, or stews are borei pri adama, that predates the lashonas that we had in Rabbi Yochanan with Rabbi Chista and Rabbi Nachman yesterday. Is that correct? So, well, not necessarily. Not necessarily. It could be that, look, the kuliyamish lakotu pargyot shakomi abid varah, I mean, there is a way of understanding it, in which both agree that it may be that a stew is a shakol. What they're arguing about may be about whether in the case of two brachot that are similar on a day which is supposed to reach 27 degrees and the president comes in holding a cup of tea, the question is whether one makes a brach on such tea or whether one puts it in the freezer. Thank you.
So let him make the bracha for you.
So one man yomer may hold chavit is adiv, and one man yomer may, the other man yomer held that kruv by definition is adiv than chavit, because as your mother always told you, Brussels sprouts are nourishing, and cut the other stuff. So what are you eating? You're supposed to eat the thing that's more kosher because it's Zion. Uh-oh.
I hate to do this.
Yeah.
I couldn't do this last time around.
Oh, no.
Yeah, if Bar Kapara is old, Bar Kapara is very solid, then it would be parallel to the other one's fine. So Rabbi was suggesting that...
Listen, Rabbi Yochanan is generally an Amor. Rabbi Chista and Nachman, for sure, we're talking about Amor. That's where we have to be my focus. Rabbi Yochanan, we don't know precisely what it is that he said, and so on, which also. Correct? So certainly Bar Kapara, who's Vadai Tana, 100%, is not considered to be part of the transitional door, which Rabbi Yochanan is part of. Mm-hmm. No matter how you read it, even the Talmidim of Bar Kapara over here, it is Tanaim. So we're talking about a point in Bar Kapara. When he says Zikmei in Tana, it doesn't mean Zikmei that I'm an old man. It means Zikmei I'm older than you are. Yeah. You could be 5 years older than someone and also say Zikmei in Tana, which we find. Omer Rebbe Zera, the Avina Be Rif Kahana Omer Lo. You know, when we were by Rav Huna, he used to teach us that Hane Gargalita Delifta, Parminu Prima Rabba Bore Priha Adama, Prima Zuta Shakol Niyabit Devorot. If somebody was chopping up now turnip, and this is the way he was going to serve it, then if it's chopped up finely into, you know, what do they call that they serve all the time?
Coleslaw?
Not coleslaw, the other thing. You know, the New York stuff that you get with the deli all the time.
Sauerkraut,
that kind of thing, yeah. Right, so it depends how finely you chop up the kruv. In this case, it was, I mean, again, kruv isn't really what we call kruv in the time of Gemara or lift up or something. But it was their equivalent of sauerkraut. Okay. So if it's prima zuta, if you have it chopped up finely, then it becomes a shakol niyabidvarot. But then, when we came to review it, Priyatamavei reviewed it, Marlon, he told us there's no such thing. The only reason that they're cutting it up is not because it's a griuta, even though you'll say it loses some of the crunchiness and so on, so that has ruined its taste. But the reason that it's done is after the antik time, trying to get the taste out of it. So they're sacrificing crunch for taste. Okay, I mean, that's a judgment call, you know. You can order your sauerkraut any way you like it. But it certainly is not considered to be a griuta that it's going to lose the shame of the vegetable.
It's a different advantage.
Well, yes, there's a problem as to why he has to say that, but we'll get into this in our review today. When I was by Rav Kahana, and I'll tell you, actually when we were by Rav Kahana, he used to say that it depends on how you make borscht in order to define the bracha on borscht. So if you've got a tafshil de silka, and you don't put in a lot of flour in it, you just put in flour to cream it, basically. It's creamed borscht. If you don't put in a lot of flour, then you make a borscht priyadama, because it's borscht, because over there the lifta is. But in the case, if you have a tapshila, where mashuba, kimchatve, then it's a borscht minim bizonot, because it's mostly, you have more of the flour, it becomes a significant ingredient, but then he realized that there was a mistake, because the flour is only acting as a binder. That's what creaming means. It doesn't really mean that you're eating the flour, and therefore, actually, either way, it's a borei priyadama. And hai b'shadi b'kimcha tvei, the only reason you've added more flour is the debuke b'yama. It's just a trick to keep it bonded. But that's not called the maila of the chamesh haminim that Rav and Shmuel were talking about before. Omer Chista. So Rav Chista says, look, once we're on the topic of borscht, I mean, we ought to make it well known. Nothing's better for your circulation, cholesterol levels, and heart than good old borscht. And the tachshel shel tshuvim is yafel alev. It's totally naim. It keeps those that retina pumping, you know. The kosher came. Teret, seller, teret. Do they call it spinach?
No.
Celica called spinach?
No. Oh,
because this is the...
The thick green spot.
Oh, I thought... Maybe, I don't know. Yeah, could be.
Well, it makes sense.
Could be. So how do they say, how do they call beets?
What do they call green? I don't know. Beets is
stomach?
So that's the silka. That's the silka. We moved on to lifta, I said before. Okay.
Now we're not.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought we were still on that same. I apologize. All right, so we're back to Popeye then. You know, before we started off with selik, moved on to lefet, which is turnip. I mean, it's generally said it's turnip. And teret, okay, so then we're talking about spinach, apparently, you're right.
Yeah. He calls it beets there.
On the trudim or the silka?
The trudim,
which is another word for selik. I don't know whether it could be our modern... generally speaking, the way it's described in the Gemara, I always had the impression that it was beets. Certainly it's in the halacha, it's referred to as borscht. This is only but sitting on the stovetop. I mean, you got to have your borscht cooked properly. So it's like sitting on the stovetop and very gently bubbling, so it's going tuk, tuk. And then if it's making the right sounds, then it's great for your heart. Amra Papa, Shidali. That's what life is about. That's what life is about. They have anything that has to do with life. But yeah, you think that the modern rabbis who lock themselves up in a room somewhere. This is, even up until fairly recently, you went for a din. When I used to have din etera, real din etera, with people who, I mean, the big kias in things that are financial instruments and all types of complex economic dealings and the psychology behind them, negotiations and so on, that you used to get from Rabbonim was absolutely astounding. I mean, just, it's my name, I'm saying, not that long ago. Omer Papa, Pshita li, maya de silka ke silka, umaya de lifta lumifta, umaya de kula shalke ke kula shalke. Okay, it's clear to me that even though we said before, if you're talking about juice, that juice is zeh l'alma. It's clear to me that if you're going to be drinking borscht, then definitely you should be making a bracha hadama on the juice.
Is it juice that came out?
It's juice from the cooked borscht. Yes. And of course, this is very problematic. As Tosfos points out, how could the cooked juice be less than the actual product of the squeezing of the fruit itself? But over there we said it's zeya, and over here we're saying it's more than zeya. There's a lot of approaches which we'll have to get to in our review. But I mean, you know, some kind of that since it's cooked, so it's able to absorb more. It doesn't seem to make sense. We're going to absorb. I mean, if it absorbs, it's never going to be the same as the. Some go to an extreme and say this is only where the whole method of eating, specifically to eat it in this fashion, and you're eating also the thing in the borscht. As a matter of fact, others learn it's talking about the type of like soup greens, which the only way you'll eat it is this way. Otherwise, you would never eat these kind of things. We'll see in the next piece, which talks about anise, this doesn't hold up completely. But indeed, Rav Avadya Ben Yosef, because of these questions, Paskins not to make a Bori Pri Adama, unless you're actually going to eat some of the vegetables that are cooked in the... Then it becomes part of an extended vegetable, which was one way to look at it. But not the juice per se.
Vegetable soup.
Vegetables.
And charcoal?
No. No. The soup itself is adama, is what Rapup is saying.
But how
not separately charcoal. If the vegetable, so you have vegetables in a chicken soup. Okay. Then the soup is shahako, because it's not essentially a ha'adamah soup.
And when you eat the carrot in the soup?
So then that depends on our shlokos, which we're going to be discussing shortly, right after we finish the daf, about what the halakh is about the vegetables that were shlukot. Shalom.
Okay. Is there not going to be a...
I ruined it for you, too. You can't hear Kol Nidre anymore. I try my best.
Is it going to be not going to be the vegetables and the super ground or not? Or?
We'll talk about it.
Maybe that's why in the old country the borscht always had chunky pieces.
You should know that. Ad Hayom, there are people who write about this that were not part of the borscht culture, especially if you see the chuvas of Sfarim. The thing that they take for granted is, of course, nobody would have had the water of the borscht. Why would anybody drink that? Maybe it was the minig at the time of the Mishnah Berurah to actually drink the borscht. Can you imagine? that's how far they are from the borscht.
We learned from this. What is this? You grab them and you made a rough. Is that what we learned?
Kofatz, you mean?
Yeah, is this what we actually learned? You hold them and you say
no. No. Kofatz means that he stuck his head in. We have the lashon that you have by Mamuchan, or Hedit Kofetz L'Rosh. So it's the idiot. The idiots always have what to say. Right. They jump in where angels fear to tread.
Isn't it?
By the way, wise men never go. Fermented.
No, there's two. That's Shava. There's two types. There's fermented and there's for the regular beet soup. You probably come from a place like South Africa or something like that. They're 50 years behind the time of South Africa, but they do. So he came 50 years ago, that's 100 years behind the time. Very Papa. How about Maya the sheep? What happens if you put anise into the water that you're cooking in? So that's the shiloh. What is the point of anise, actually? Is it that I like the licorice taste? Is that the essential thing? It's the mitukei time, it's the taste that I'm interested in? Or do I use it to basically cut through the heavy taste, the sickening taste of the, of the organic materials of, of meat and of chicken? It lightens it a bit. It cuts through the zuama. You know, the same way that we take off the top layer, we skim the soup in order to get rid of the zuama, we put in also anise in order to cut the taste. But that means that it's not for itself, a tam of its own that we're interested in. Toshma, we have an interesting raya to this, because it says that hashevet, mishinatna tam bikedera in ba mishum truma, once you used a stalk of anise, you put it into your soup, now you take it out, and you want to chew on it. There's no chiyuv on it anymore. To take off truma from it, it's not going to be makabel truma, because basically it's washed out at this point, no longer has any taste. But note the language, mishnatznatza'am bekidera, which is mashma, that's the purpose. We never would have said that. And therefore, it must be shmamina lemetuketa amavila shmamina. Clearly, we are interested in its taste, in which case you'd have to be mevorek on it, on that taste, according to Rav Papa. This is one of the big problems with the pshat and those that try to say that the only thing Rav Papa was referring to was something where you were eating the vegetables as well, because clearly the anise was not that, it didn't have any taste there, which couldn't be. That you're going to be biting on the parsley, that's not what you sit there to eat on. Right?
Why was you allowed to use it as terror before you used it? So why was you allowed to put it into the soup?
Maybe he didn't, whatever. That could be the old, he didn't need the soup. You're not. But if you're being chased by an alien, what do you do then? What if the alien wants to eat soup? You throw it into the soup. Now the shayla is, he finally takes off. You are hungry. You are broken. You are shaken. You want to eat a little bit of the leftovers. You're allowed to eat it now. So now you're allowed to eat it. There you go.
And the soup is
over here. The soup is there. What do you care?
Oh, okay.
There's nothing. He's not tired.
If it's a suffix, does it taste? What do you do?
There's no suffix.
When there is a suffix.
When there is a suffix, as we said earlier, when Elion Novi comes and he decides there's a suffix, you'll talk to him about it. But hashtamia, there's no suffix. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, I've been up all night. If you
cook it in
the pot for like a little bit,
yeah. So you got a problem? Take another piece and make a broth on it. Omra Fia Barashi. Pat Tsnuma Bika'ara. Now, the truth is, we're suddenly going off topic a little bit. Because what's happened is that we started to talk about the Kedima in Brachot, right? And the Kedima in Brachot, we had only gotten to because we were trying to bring a raya about which bracha, whether it's a shahakol, whether it's a adon, but then we got into the shayla, whether chaviv is better, zion is better, right? There's another area in which we also need to discuss chavivut and chashivut in terms of bracha, and precisely the same things we've been discussing over here, which is if something is in water or not, but it has nothing to do with which bracha. It has to do with lecha mishnah on Shabbos, or being botseya on Shabbos, or if you're being botseya from a whole loaf during the week, what comes first. So there too, without even mentioning what we're talking about, we've suddenly switched gears. And what Rav Chiya Bar Ashi is saying is that if you've got some old dry bread, we use the word tsnuma today to mean toast. In those days, it just meant tsnuma, like the pasuk of the parot, you know, the tsnumot dakot. So you're the tsnumot dakot of the rusks. I thought rusks were toasted. Aren't they toasted? This is not toasted.
Dried in the oven.
This is stone dry bread. Dry bread you stick into you know, some soup to eat it or something.
Stale.
Well, not necessarily stale. Dried up. So tsnumot dakot on the parot are now being applied to the shibolim.
Process
shibolim. Yeah. Anyway, so they put them into a kara. And you still say hamotzi on them. Now, what it sounds like he's saying is a chiddush about hamotzi. And that isn't really the chiddush, because as we see, clearly now, Rav Chiya Bar Ashi is arguing on Rav Chiya, because Rav Chiya holds that when you make your bracha, it should be completed at the time that you complete cutting the challah. Whereas over here, if you're going to make it on the pot snuma, so then it's not shy to talk about this now, right? Okay. It's because this doesn't have a din of a shlema any longer. So what are we talking about now? We're talking about kedima for which, not bracha even, but which challah you're going to cut. It's a whole different issue then. Maskif la rava, wait a second. Apparently, your problem over here is you have a piece of bread, and you're saying, I shouldn't make a bracha on a piece of bread, because by the time I finish my bracha, you know, I have a cut bread. In other words, I only have a piece of bread. But if you're going to cut the challah as you're saying the bracha, you're going to end up with a piece of cut bread at that point too. So who cares? That doesn't make any sense what he's saying. So then halapat nami, even if I take a whole challah, you're telling me I should be cutting it as I'm making the bracha, so then kiko gamra, apusa ka gamra. Anyway, you're saying I should be completing my bracha as I'm completing the cutting. Then I haven't gained anything. Elo amarava mibarech ve'acharkach botzeya. Be careful not to cut the challah beforehand. Finish your bracha, and then cut the challah. Now, of course, we try to, in order, the only reason to cut the challah before would be to have it prepared, so that you have less of a hefsek between the bracha. There shouldn't be any hefsek at that. So what we do is we make a little mark, but you have to be careful. The mark doesn't extend so deeply that if you would pick up the bread with the piece that you cut, that it would fall apart, because then it's no longer whole. And especially on Shabbos, we've got a din of like a mishnah, where there's a separate reason for it to be whole.
But the mishnah is that they cut a hole in the earth's center, almost to the core, actually.
No, they didn't. You read it wrong.
Almost. No, they're close, I thought.
No. I guarantee you that's not what you read. Yeah, absolutely guarantee.
It's crust. It's not a crust. They call it mohan.
Oh, okay. Now you're talking bediuk. I mean, do you want to be like Rabbi Yom HaBayef?
I hope it doesn't pop when I get through.
So now, the Nahar Doi used to do it like Rav Chiya. Rabbonan did it like Rava, to wait until he finished the bracha. And Omer Avin, Omer Liyeh, my mommy always told me, that Avu Chavik Rav Chiya, your dad used to cut the challah like Rav Chiya. He would say the bracha as he was cutting. The Omer Rav Chiya, Tzarech Shetchale Brachayim Apat, but the Rabbonan were Avdei Kirava. V'hilchata Kirava, and actually that's how we paskin, the Omer Mivarech, V'achakach Botseya, should be careful to make that bracha first and only then to cut through. Yes, you know, there's people that cut, and then they sing a bracha, they cut a little bit, they lose their place. And then they're looking for where they cut, of course, which ends up taking more time than it would have been if they hadn't done the cut. And obviously, the whole thing is a joke.
I mean, you're supposed to cut where you started?
Like, you just cut the most efficient way. The truth is that for us, the whole thing is really not very linear. Because in their times where the bread was baked up against the side, so then the Gemara's Machalik, where it is you're supposed to cut from, is the area that began baking first. But over here, the way we do it with these gigantic ovens belts. So over there, the whole thing is really not again, because anywhere you cut, it's the same. So it used to be you had to look for the place to cut in order to be Mekayim the Mitzvah correctly. But where you can cut anywhere, I mean, who cares where exactly you're coming from?
So you wouldn't need to cut first?
Saying, look, who's going to argue with a minute, but the discussion was based on other times and other technologies.
And the advantage of cutting there, that
what? That's the story of Menashe.
Yeah, so what is the point of cutting where it's baked most? Because
we discussing the Gemara in Sanhedrin now, or are we discussing?
Is it because
we're not talking about
here.
Because there is no Malkum that it's baked first. That's the point. Our ovens are all
the principle in the first place. Why should it even matter?
Because we are not learning that principle. So I asked, are we doing this against Sanhedrin? Are we doing this against Brachos?
Sanhedrin always, but the question is, right, in a home-baked oven, is there something that's closer to the element?
No, the whole idea of a good oven is that it spreads the heat.
Evenly.
There's no element in an oven. The element is covered. You're thinking about broiling. In normal ovens, there's no exposed element. That's why we have turbo ovens, to make sure that the heat is even better distributed. That's the idea, is to have a distribution. Right. It's my heavier lifnehem. Pititin ushlemi. How about you've got now pieces that are broken and pieces that are shalem. Now, what's the din? Omer Rav Huna mevarach ala pititin. Mevarach ala pititin means he can be mevarach ala pititin if he wants. Rashi adds, but if the petitin would be larger than the shleimim, then you would have to be mevarach on the petitin, because it would mean that according to Rav Huna, shleim has no particular value. So if it has no particular value, then the chashivut would be measured by the size. Tosfos disagrees, and he says, does not believe that we could have a machloket min hakatzeh lakatzeh, whether shleimut is chashuv or size is chashuv. He believes there's only a simple machloket as to whether there is significance to shleimut. It's never that we call something chashuv. Notice you can do whatever you want. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, it's always a shleima that's a mitzvah min hamufchar. However, we need to qualify that because there's other factors. How about if the bread is made out of different species? So you have a prusa, let's say, of chitim, and a shleima of saorim. Now over there, since the Torah was mocked in chitim to saorim, so Divrei Yaakov mevarech ala prusa shel chitim, because that's more important than the difference between a shleima and a non-shleima, even according to Rabbi Yochanan. Upoter ta shleima shel saorim. And this opens up, really, our minds to other issues that might be nogeo over here, such as questions of the cleanliness of the flour, noki or kiver. In other words, a dark bread or a white bread. In Gemara terms, and until people became very romantic, white bread was always the better bread. And of course, you paid much more for a white bread than for a dark, improperly processed grain bread.
Used to be.
I mean, I understand. It used to be also if something was grown to be nice and beautiful and well-fertilized, it was viewed as tastier and better. Now, if it's all beaten up and it looks like a dog wouldn't eat it, but it's organic, then it's already, I mean, it's so organic that you see the stuff they used to fertilize it. It looks the same. So, but in any event, in those days, the clean bread was the good bread. Or you might have a question of tahor bread versus tamei bread, if you're makan tum of the tyra. All of these are indeed issues in terms of the chashivas of a bracha. Tosis deals with some of it over here. So we have a machloket here as to the value of shleimut. Omer Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba, well, I think this is really an old machloket. It's a machloket tanoim. Because when it comes to truma, we have the same thing. Here we have tormim batzal katan shalem, avolol chatzi batzal gadol. That you would give a large, now again, this is part of the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. One way, you take a smaller but whole onion, and not a larger but cut onion to give to a kohen. That's, again, Rashi understands that the question over here is it large or is it whole? That's the issue. Tosfos says, no, clearly that's not the issue, as I've already explained. It can't be this machlokas min hakatz about large and shalem, unreasonable. What we must be referring to over here is a better onion. Now, so we have a chatzi batzal that has value, whatever it is. Not that it's bigger, it's better on some level. So it has an innate chashivut. What should I give? So one man, the Armah says, the Tanakhama says, give the whole, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, give the half. So it's different from the Chatzi Batzal Gadol. So my lab or kamifuket. L'chora, what they're arguing in, is whether the Choshev is Adif, again, according to the Choshev, for whatever reason it's Choshev, or according to Rashi, Choshev because it's Gadol, Umar Sever Shalem Adif. Says the Gemara, no. By Truma, you have a whole different issue, because by Truma, the question is, you need to give it to the Kohen. Suppose there's no Kohen around. So if there's a Kohen there, hey, for the Ika Kohen, Kuli Amalo Pligi de Choshev Adif. In terms of the giving value to the Kohen, we're not talking about some kind of theoretical value. We're talking about a value. What's he going to enjoy more? He's about to eat it. You know, you can tell him, I want to give you the chashev for what. Thank you very much. Could I have something good, please? I mean, so obviously we're not going to say, could be everybody agrees chashev is other. Keep leaking the lekka coin. We're talking about this no coin. So now we get into another question, which is, how long can we expect the batzal to last in order to get to the coin? Obviously, if it's shelf life, exactly. Obviously, if it's a whole onion, it's going to last longer. And there it says, it's not. Komakom sheyesh kohen toreim in hayafeh, but komakom sheein kohen toreim in hamitzkayim. So the Tanakhama is saying, look, the mitzkayim is obviously the whole onion. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we always give the trumim in hayafeh and hope that the kohen comes along in time to eat it. Because, I mean, what's more important to us is the ana of the kohen, and not to make plans for what if he's late and who knows when. That's not your business. Your business is to give the yafeh. Yeah, okay, again, technology has caught up with all of these issues. I mean, I understand that they're planning now communities with pneumatic tubes that take the true man and the mice directly to the guy. Omer Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, V'yorei Shamayim, Yotzei Yedei Shneihem. You know what? My focus over here, what to use, this brings us straight to Pesach again. That's amazing. So do you say a bracha on the Prusa, or do you say a bracha on the Shleima? Yorei Shamayim can do both. How can you do both? Manu, that's Marbury de Ravina. The Marbury de Ravina, meniach prusa betoch hashlema ubotzea. So you take the broken piece, you put it together with the whole piece, carry both in your hands, and then you can be botzea. Here's the machlokas, whether you can be botzea even from the prusa, or you have to be botzea from the shlema, and it's just nirak that it's from the prusa. And indeed, tani tana kamenu not where yitzu meniach prusa betoch hashlema ubotzea umavorek. There was a Tana, who at that point was nameless, that said in front of him, not Rabbi Yitzchak, the way to do it is to take the prusa, put it into the shlema, and then you say your bracha. On my way.
Then even the shlema is a sorry?
Huh? No. Talking about the question that we had before. According to Rashi, larger prusa, a smaller shlema, or according to Tostam, no chashivitz in the shlema, but I have a reason that I want the prusa. On my way, so Rabbi Nachman told him, tell me, what's your name? On my way, my name is Salman. Amalei, you should have locks. No, that's not what he said. Amalei, shalomata, v'shleima mishnatcha, shesanta shalom, benatamidim. Look at this. That was brilliant. We were talking about machlokas all the time. The shleima, the prusa, you've got it all. That was a great, great idea.
Do we hear from him again?
Salman. I mean, listen, everybody names their kid Salman because of him. Amar Papa, hakol modim, v'pesach. When it comes to the Seder, so over there you've got a real problem because you've got a prusa, which is the one that's kosher to be the lechem only tonight. On the other hand, you have a dinner lechem mishnah, and for the lechem mishnah, you're supposed to be using a shlema. And then you have the question of the chashivas of the betzia. What do you do? So on Pesach, everybody is made it, for sure. Meniach prusa, betoch hashlema, or betzia. You can't leave the prusa behind. My time a lechem only exceed. The derek of Adoni is beprusa. So you're going to have to take the prusa. So what do you do about the fact that you're not being betzia on the correct path? Well, and what you do is make the bracha again. There's, I'm not saying what we do. There were many different approaches. This brings actual practical differences how to look at it. But that the way basically we do it and is mentioned here in the Tosfos is we view the bracha of the matzah as being made on the prusa. The bracha on the lechem is like every bracha on lechem over there. I say it as lechem mishnah. So over there I have lechem mishnah. Then I can drop the other shlema and then I make on the prusa. The broch of matzah on both of them, and I'm botzea for both of them, and hand it out. And that way, it's as if I was botzea on the prusa, whereas actually I was botzea from both. This is all on a regular day. We're talking about Shabbos, you need lecha mishnah. My time of lecha mishnah ktiv. It says in the Torah lecha mishnah about the man. I saw Rav Kahana hold the two challahs when he made the bracha to be Mekayim Lecha Mishnah, but he didn't cut both challahs. He cut one challah And then if he needed later, he would cut more. But actually, Rabbi Zeira, Habibatsa Kula Shiruta, Rabbi Zeira cut initially. When he made the bracha, he cut the entire thing, so there would be enough bread there for the whole meal. Omalei Ravina L'Ravashi, Ravina said to Ravashi, I mean, that looks like you're a slob when you do that. No, I mean, you're so hungry. Especially in those days, they didn't cut slices, they cut pieces. So it means you give somebody a gigantic piece. It's going to last for the whole meal. I mean, well, you're calling him a slob, you're acting like a slob. So he said, I'm not like him to call you a lokabi. Look, in general, I don't act this way. So nobody thinks I'm a slob. It's obvious that I'm only doing this for the covet of the Suda of Shabbos, that there should be a sense of much and plenty and not being mitzamtzim at all. And therefore, if I'm doing it now, who's going to think that it's because I'm a slob? Rabami Barabasi had another cup in which Kimisramile Rifta Daruva. When they had an opportunity to make a bracha on the bread that had been used for making the Eruv, so now we have the Shabbos, so you did the Eruv. So, Mevorchan HaMotzilach HaMenoretz, they would bedavki use the Eruv bread to say HaMotzian, because they said, you know, this is already was Meyuchet, as mitzvah bread, and mitzvah bread also is a chashivut, so let's use the mitzvah bread. Huh? Sorry? Whatever you use on an Erev that you no longer need. For Erev Tavshilin is a good. Whatever it is. Erev Tavshilin, whatever you use.
You can eat that, I thought, and then it still works.
Yeah. I mean, once it's there at the time of the fellows of Shabbos.
But it won't end for the next Shabbos.
No, we must make another one.
Well, that's it.
Yeah, now they... now it's so stale. All right, gentlemen. It's been a lot of fun. Now it's time for our review.
Shabbos.
Oh, yes.